out of the whole calendar, out of the whole 366 days of God, that we all get to celebrate God. This is the one day that sets us apart. This is the one day that gets me excited more and more every day. Is that Jesus is risen, the tomb is empty, and we get to be participants in that. Amen? We declare that glory. That sets us apart and transforms us as we are. So please take a seat. It is, before we jump in, it's also my privilege to have Beck to the front. And for all our kids, even our older kids, you know, you are more than welcome. Beck has got some coloring in and, I think I'll go with her. There's chocolate. Ah, all right. She had me at chocolate. Friends, there are over a billion, and I think there must be more. But even in the least of all, over a billion people who will celebrate Easter with us today. There are over a billion people who are gathering in the name of Jesus, declaring that the tomb is empty, declaring that Jesus as the Son of God has been resurrected by His Father. And we are part of what we're doing today. We are part of that people who are gathering today in His name for His name's sake. Part of what is for us to do, or the privilege for me today, is as I was preparing into this space of, you know, what are we called to share this Easter? Because we are all coming together, and I know it's so easy just to take the resurrection as a given. There was this part that in this lead up, as we have celebrated Lent, as we were leaning into Good Friday, and even yesterday, we were thinking about what hope is there for us. And the words that keep coming out when Jeff and Matt and I were talking is just the words of what is God's mission. And I was leaning into God. I said, Lord, so what do I share with you today? And, you know, like, As a pastor, sometimes, you know, you've got it all ready and it's ready to roll, and it just felt as if, I would say God is holding out, and I just felt He was holding out a little bit longer because there was something in there for us today. And I think what happened, what landed for me today was talking about His mission, the mission of God, and how the resurrection is part of that. And so this morning, in a short bit, we are going to start with the empty tomb as part of God's mission. But there's a part of me that was reminded that we are also, not only was the resurrection for each of us as individuals and that was it, but it's also how Jesus in His great love commissioned us in partnership to join with Him in this great news. And then He calls us into action in terms of sowing and engaging in our community. So this morning, will you join with me in the words of Matthew 28? I love that part when we celebrate that empty tomb. And I love how the ladies, the Marys, were waiting in Matthew 28. And right at the beginning, it says at the break of dawn that the Marys went out. And I wondered, where were the disciples? Where were all the blokes? And they were just stuck at home. It just describes a picture. And yet, we see the Marys go to the tomb, and there was this violent earthquake, and there was this angel who met them right there, and we saw the stone rolled away. It's funny that when you see this, and when I say funny is that in that moment, there was a space there where they met the angel from heaven as he described to us in Matthew 28. And then I heard someone else say, and I thought I'd just borrow that. It says there, the angel didn't move the stone to let Jesus out, but to let us in. Think about that. For a long time, I thought, oh, it's great, the stone with a childlike faith. And I never thought about it. I thought about the stone was rolled away so Jesus could get out. And they were saying, no, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out, because Jesus could move wherever He wanted to. But the stone was moved so we would let in. We could see with our own eyes. The women saw with their own eyes that the tomb was empty. They saw, they heard from the angel that the one you are looking for is not here anymore. And I wonder if we could take the gravity of that for this moment in that hopelessness that saw the blokes, the disciples who Jesus told that I'm going to be resurrected in 3 days, who were not there waiting. And I think I might have been one of them, just in this utter hopelessness. And the women who saw that for the first time, they were sent. He said, now go and tell, send them. And immediately we see the mission of God in action, right? Jesus sent them back and said, go and tell them what you have seen. And they returned with great joy. He has risen. I loved how Jesus has passed through death. And on Good Friday, we saw him laying his life down into the hands of the Father. And he returned to life as a walking, talking, living human being. He even asked the disciples later on when he appeared to them for some leftovers of fish. And he ate and he had fellowship with them. What I love about in that, just in that space, is that Jesus never ever rebuked them. Why were you not waiting at my tomb? That's probably something I would have done. I told you. I mean, how many of us in an argument said, I told you? And yet in that space, he didn't do that. And that is probably one of the greatest part of the grace that there is be found in Jesus. The wonderful thing about the death and the resurrection of Jesus is the fact that in that space, not under, you know, not only did we know that on a cross he died for our sins, but also in his resurrection, he showed that there is a pathway, there is a hope for us to eternal life. That all of us who have fallen in brokenness, all of us today who may feel that there is no hope, may have hope to know that this Jesus has died for every broken part. He suffered it for every, even, may I say, the greatest perception that you may have that there is not enough space for someone like me. I can tell you in my favorite, in my own space, if I don't guard my heart, I would love to think of myself that there's no one as lonely as I am or as suffering as I am. And when I declare the words of Jesus to say, that is not true, because in Jesus I am resurrected. In Jesus I am accepted. In Jesus I am loved. It keeps transforming my life towards him. But this is the great part where I felt just the Lord just prompted me to say that, hang on, that the resurrection in itself is not the whole purpose. Jesus' mission when he was resurrected was not yet completed. And that is part of what we also need to recognize. Jesus still, on a short while after, returned, ascended as the first fruit into heaven, so that we as humans may know that we can follow. In person, he disappeared in front of his disciples. And that's part of God's mission. So the Father sent the Son, and Jesus completed his mission on the cross. He was resurrected, and he finally returned into heaven. And then the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he poured it out. And the witness of the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the witness that testifies and reveals the truth of who Jesus is and keep transforming him. The second part of what I feel just led to share with us today, that the resurrection of Jesus, the whole mission of God through the resurrection, also have commissioned us. We see that right at the end. He said to his disciples, go and find me where I am. And he sent his disciples to a place where he said, I'm going to meet with you. And right there, this is part of what I think that is so important, is that the commissioning is not for those who fully accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But what I love in this space, that there is a room for those who doubt. There is a room for those who are still in that process of discovering Jesus as the true Son of God. They see there's some that they worship him, but I love those words, but some doubted. But they were still there. They were still participating. And just because we are at some point in life, maybe today some of us may not be 100% sold that Jesus is the Son of God who died and saved my life, or we may not be 100%, we may be sold on Jesus as the resurrected King of and the Son of God, but maybe not quite yet trusting of Him as the Savior of my life. But I want you to know that the message today, greater than what the words that's coming out of my mouth, is that in Jesus Christ, we are fully accepted. We are fully purposed. We are fully called and authorized as part of His mission into His kingdom of love and eternity. In Christ, even though we are still wrestling with some of these parts, you may have peace and peace to the full. There is nothing in this life that can hold you back or separate from Christ. If you choose to follow Jesus, there is an opportunity to grow and connect, and this is part of our fellowship. The mission of the empty tomb welcomes all, doubters included. The second part in this commission is like everyone gets to play. When Jesus then told his disciples, therefore go and make disciples, therefore, you know, make disciples as you go, he didn't say only the clergy. Only the ministry qualified are allowed to share the gospel. Is that what your script said? That's what mine said. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to participate. The beauty of the resurrection, when we are transformed by the resurrection of Jesus, there is a joy that comes out. We see how ordinary people took the gospel out. Jewish people from Jerusalem took it out, and eventually it reached the Greeks. It reached a whole world. Eventually it reached us 2,000 years later. And isn't that amazing? And part of our declaration, part of the movement for us, even here at Coast Community, is that our mission, our co-mission, is that every one of us participates in sharing the gospel. I wrote here, this mission begins at home, and it impacts our neighborhoods. This mission of Jesus is others-centered. It's not about us. The resurrection has called me in to transform me to be focused on others. It is participatory as equal priests in the kingdom of God. It is invitational. It is non-work-based. It doesn't say you have to look this part. You have to accept or complete this course or have done this or that. It only asks you today to accept Jesus. And it calls us as a community of people to accept those around us in the love of Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to bring people to the transformation that He has taken some of us on His way. Isn't that a beautiful community? To me, there is a picture. There is an excitement in there. I don't have to stand on a soapbox. I don't have to force anything. And sometimes, I don't know about you, the part of evangelism feel, it has felt to me is like I have to convince you that you, or I have to defend the gospel of Jesus. There is a part where I share the Jesus, but Jesus do not need my defending. He needs my sharing. He needs my love. He needs my witnessing. And the first part in this whole thing, and I think the psalmist summarized it in Psalm 130 verse 4. He said, but with you there is forgiveness so that we with reverence can serve you. And then the third part is just talking about sowing. There was a part of it is like, okay, hang on, let's just... And if we talk about the sower, the farmer who went out, now typically me, I was having this idea of talking about the sower, and then along the way, there was another thought that came in, talk about fishing as well. So if we can talk about fishing and farming this morning, not that I'm a fisher or a farmer, Jesus interrupted the frustrated group of fishermen, and he told them, what did he tell them? He said, throw in your nets, but just on the other side. Now, I wonder what that fisherman thought of the carpenter telling him how to do his job better. And he did so. But what happened right thereafter? All of a sudden, there was a harvest. And one of the beauty things of this is it necessitated. But well, hang on. Before I tell you what it necessitated, where did Jesus give this instruction? Was it at church? Was it at home or at a home group? It was right at the workplace. And the first part of sowing, first part of fishing, the first part of participating in the kingdom is for us to know that the resurrection is activated once we participate in sowing or in the kingdom. And that kingdom is everywhere we go, including our workspaces, including our coffee spaces, includes wherever we may find ourselves. It was right there, in that space where these men were working. That's what they did for a living. And what happened in that moment is they called on each other. It necessitated a partnership. The last part, if I can get back to the sowing. Look at this. The words that just jumped at me for today, and we may have read it. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And then the words, it's just those two words, a farmer went out. And part of the resurrection Sunday that makes it so powerful, it's not just that Jesus rose from the dead, but he also included us in and purposed us in, as part of his mission. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path as it was trampled on and the birds ate it up. And we know the rest of the story. The story went on and some went on to fertile ground. But here's the thing. Notice the setting. Where did the farmer go? Did he walk straight back to church? He went out to do his work. And then the question, did the farmer fail because not all the seed flourished? Or did he stop going out because not all the seed flourished? And I think there is a great joy for us if we are in this space right now, for us in this mission of God, is that the seed is activated when sowed. I want to just share a short bit of my story, and then we are having an activity where we are going to participate in sowing seeds. I'll hand over to Steph in a sec to show us and to tell us what we're going to go. But the seed being sown, when I talk about being activated, is I went as a pastor to this, and I think I may have told you about this, evangelism course. And it was great because in theory, we sat in a safe space and we practiced. How do you share the gospel with someone? And then one day they said, all right, you guys should be ready. And they took us out, right out. They dropped us off. And normally I'm a door-to-door salesman, but I was never as scared in my life as that. It was like all of a sudden I have to share Jesus with people. I've just randomly knocked on their door and say, hey, can I tell you? Can I talk to you? Which was a great challenging excitement. But I felt there was something in there. What took place in that moment, there was an activation that came from courage. And I think that is part that we are craving for as part of a church, as part of human beings, is that we want to not just be seen and be known and be accepted, but we also want to be brave. And out of that action, just sharing that gospel, came a sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I remember, and this is the last little bit to tell you, is that out of that, we went out, and we got a lot of yeses and a lot of nos. What stood out to me is that if we are thinking about getting a yes or a no, I think we can be tempted to fail, or we can tempted to be, oh, wow, I fear that. But the farmer did not care about the success of the seed. The only thing that he was obedient to was he went out and he sowed season after season after season. Amen? He calls us as followers of Jesus to be a witness of Jesus again and again and again with our strength and our weaknesses and all those things in transparency to keep going out. But what is activated, I can tell you, is a sensitivity. For the first time as a pastor trained for many years, preaching the gospel, I was alive. I walked, this is a funny story and then I'll hand over. I walked one day and I had a very tight schedule. Always too tight. And we had two hospitals, and I rushed into one hospital up to the seventh floor to do a hospital visit before I went on to another meeting. And I rocked up, and it was a completely different ward. I didn't know, and I realized I went to the wrong hospital. And I'm like, now I know you get that grumble in your heart. You go, no. And then as I walked back, I saw a lady there, and she was just reading a Bible, and I thought, oh, that's nice. And I stood there in front of the lift, and I felt, and this was the first time I had that prompting where a spirit said to me, go back and talk to her. I'm like, no, Lord, I'm late. I'm going to go. And I had the second and a third, and I love it, the witness of the Holy Spirit. It was not by guilt or by force. I just had that strong sense. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll be late now because of you, but I'll go back. Just be honest, this was the conversation that went in my head. So I returned and I walked across and I said, oh, look, it's amazing. I saw you reading Bible. I feel to talk. And we had just a brief conversation. Nothing earth-shattering, but I was like, sweet. And then there was a lady, she was a Portuguese lady, and she was crying. And back then, by being my mother tongue in Afrikaans, she was English. I sort of stumbled an English prayer for her. I spoke it very deliciously back then. So I spoke to her and I thought, oh, two. But you know what really, really got me to the point of falling to my knees in reverence of God's move and why it's essential for us to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit tells us as part of this mission and the resurrection of Jesus? There was a girl there and she was beside herself and she attempted to eradicate herself from this world the night before. Someone saved her. And in that conversation, she told me there is no place for someone as ugly or as bad or as, I can't even remember the words, as she was. And in that, just for that split second, there was a part of me that was able to share with her that there is joy in Jesus. There is purpose in being there. And you know that sense of peace that comes about? And there I felt in that very moment how the Spirit led me to that point. Now, I do not know what happened to her after, and that's like the sower, but that's not my purpose. My purpose was to respond to that moment when the prompting came to turn around at a great inconvenience to my time schedule, and in order to do so, to speak to other people, but finally, along this way, to get His way through me. And that's part of what we are doing on the Central Coast. That's why we love postcode 2261. That's why we are seeking to connect. That's why we are seeking renewal. It's not just that we can build a Greater Coast Community Church. Because at one day, Coast Community Church will be gone. But the resurrection King Jesus will be there forever and evermore. And He wants to participate with you and me. And the question is, do we want to participate with Him? Amen.